You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network. This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Why brand? Branding has moved from a downstream concern to the center of business's strategy. Consider this. Brands are considered one of the three classes of capital along with physical and financial capital by economists. Brands drive significant premiums in M&As. Brand assets are part of the documentation and even security for asset-backed financing. Here to chat with us today about how your branding decisions can impact every facet of your business's character, perception, and growth is founder and principal of Silva Brand, Tom Silva, an expert at managing the branding process for emerging and established companies and organizations. Tom brings an unmatched level of expertise to his field. Mr. Silva, certainly a privilege and honor to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Good morning, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, good morning to you as well. So it seems people have been talking about branding for a while, but can you give us a definition of what branding really is?
Sure. Well, you know, branding actually goes back all the way to the 1920s and 30s with companies like Procter & Gamble, who did have branding departments. But the modern conception of the word, I think, is it gets a little bit tricky, and you see a lot of bad definitions of branding out there. So I think the way that I like to explain it to my clients is the following. You should think of your company or your product or your service as a jewel. You should think of it as a jewel. It's precious. It's the most precious thing you have. And that jewel, like jewels tend to do, have many sides. They have many facets. So in years past, most companies had one side, which was the side that faced the customer. And that's actually the definition of marketing. That's Peter Drucker's, the famous business theorist. His definition of marketing was the entire business seen from the point of view of the customer. Branding actually adds a couple more sides to that jewel. So there's now, in addition to speaking to the customer, a brand speaks to the capital markets. So brands have an enormous impact on your ability as a business to procure financing. You see brands now showing up in loan documentation. And, of course, the value of your company when you go to sell it or you go to merge with another company is enormously impacted by the strength of your brand. So you're speaking to the capital markets. And then in addition to that now, and I'm dealing a lot with this as I talk to CEOs, is brands communicate with your internal culture. So your employees, and brands have a really big part to play in helping you retain and recruit workers. And this is a real issue right now because, you know, if you read, say, the McKinsey reports, they're telling us that there's going to be a shortage of about 5 million workers in the United States by 2020. So this is real. CEOs are really dealing with the difficulty of recruiting skilled knowledge workers. And so often the power of the brand is very important to that. There's a recent survey that said that 85% of millennials care more about their company making a difference in the world than they do even about professional recognition. It really makes a difference what the company is about and what the values of the company are. And so when you think about brand, that's the key that I like to leave people with. Don't think of it as just speaking to the customer. You're also speaking to the capital markets, and you're speaking internally to your employees. So your brand ultimately is your strategy brought to life.
In the regards to an entrepreneur, why should every entrepreneur care about branding?
Well, it's a great question, Eric, and I think the best thing to say is look at the numbers. So let me give you a couple of recent examples of how brands and branding greatly enhances the value of your company. So as an example, you look at WhatsApp. which was purchased by Facebook for $19 billion. That company, the year that it was purchased by Facebook, WhatsApp's revenue was $20 million. Think about that. It was $20 million, which is about the revenue of a big, large Chicago steakhouse. Similarly, when Yahoo purchased Tumblr, Yahoo paid $1.1 billion for Tumblr. The year that Yahoo purchased Tumblr, Tumblr's revenues, $14 million. I mean, this is extraordinary. It's clear that Facebook is not paying $19 billion and Yahoo is not paying $1.1 billion to buy these companies because of the amount of money they're generating. They're paying for the brand. If you think about it, Facebook could very easily and much more cheaply have created their own messaging app, but they didn't do that because of the strength of the WhatsApp brand. And this is where it gets really down to dollars and cents. And I think this is what entrepreneurs should be very aware of, is how the power of your brand may create something that has real value. And, you know, long term, having a strong brand allows you to win and, more importantly, retain customers across their lifetime. And that's really important because over the course of your business, it allows you to lower your marketing costs. It creates a much more efficient and stable cash flow for your company if you've got a strong brand that's continuing to mine these customers across the value chain. So I think that you know, the best arguments I can offer for branding are simply to look at the numbers, and you'll see the impact of brand.
So tell us, what are the steps in creating a brand, even on a personal level?
Oh, that's interesting. So, you know, like I said before, brand is your strategy brought to life. And so when you know, this is one of my pet peeves, is when I see marketing and branding people walk into a boardroom and they haven't taken the time before they sit down to create a website or a brochure or whatever it is. They haven't taken the time to really understand the strategy of the company. And this is really important because ultimately, if you're not basing your brand on your strategy, you really don't have anything. So in order to do that, it's a three-step process. And I call it, this is the terminology we use at Silver Brand, is there's brand discovery, this brand definition, and then brand transformation. So the discovery phase is critical, and that's where you do the deep dive into the company. And so we're talking about looking at your competitors, doing full qualitative interviews with your clients. These are one-hour phone interviews with your clients, real deep dive stuff. And we look at your industry. And then ultimately what we do is we bring all that research in to meet with your stakeholders, usually the CEO or the board of directors, and we work through your SWOT analysis. So that's your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. Once you've done all of that upfront work, you really have a very, very good sense of what the company is about at a strategy level. And this is critical when you go into the next phase, which is brand definition, which is creating the architecture of your brand. And so this is where you get into, you know, your vision, your mission, your positioning statement, brand idea, brand promise, brand personality, all of these things that are really important for you to be able to sit down and create a messaging or a visual expression. So let me give you one example of that, Eric, because I think this is really important. Your vision statement. And people out there who are listening to this might have a vision statement for their company. But part of what I see is that a lot of companies don't really understand that a vision statement has to be large, and it has to be about your impact in the world. So I read recently this Harvard Business Review about bad vision statements, and they used an example, and I'm going to read it to you so the audience can hear. Profitable growth through superior customer service, innovation, quality, and commitment. Now, that could be almost anybody. And this is what I find a lot with vision statements, is that they're written in this very generic way. And they're really self-directed. They're really about, well, what are we going to do to increase revenue? And that's not a vision statement. A great vision statement really answers one question, which is, what does the world look like if we succeed? What is our impact in the world? And so if you, I'll give you a couple of truly great ones. Ford Motor Company's vision statement is democratize the automobile. And that's an amazing vision statement because it's really based on the strategy of the company. Henry Ford brought down the price of the average automobile when he created the Model T, the Tin Lizzie, from about $1,000 to about $300. So that's real. They really priced their products so regular people could afford them. And, of course, Ford paid his workers double what his competition did, $5 a day, which was, of course, very helpful in allowing them to be able to afford to buy his product. But that's an example of a great vision statement, democratize the automobile. Microsoft's vision statement is a computer in every desktop. And that was written back in the 70s. So think about how large and ambitious that vision statement is. Now, the key to the vision statement is it's got to inspire people. It's got to inspire people to buy your product. It's got to inspire people to want to work for you. And ultimately, you know, the analyst of Wall Street has got to feel inspired as they're trying to assess the value of your company. So vision statements are very important. And you know, as we work through that visioning process with our clients, sometimes we go through a lot of back and forth. But we ultimately get them there. It just takes a little bit of work and understanding your strategy to be able to figure out what are you about. And then once you're done with brand definition, you move into what I call brand transformation, which is the final stage where you actually sit down and start copywriting and designing and looking at all the touch points you're going to need, whether it's ads or websites or brochures or even getting involved in internal sales training or documents or newsletters. So that's the final phase of it. But I would counsel everybody to move through those three phases: the discovery, which is the deep dive into your company and your strategy; the definition, which is the architecture of your brand; and then finally, when you sit down, to actually transforming the brand through graphic design and copywriting and video and all of the different media.
Well, well explained. We thank you for that today. We're joined by Tom Silva, founder and principal of Silva Brand, a brand consultancy and marketing agency in downtown Chicago, here on Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with East Chicago, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Silva, can you name some brands that you admire?
Sure. You know, Eric, it's interesting. When branding people, I think, often are asked about brands they admire, they'll mention the same handful of companies. So it's always Apple at the top, and then they mention Nike and Harley Davidson and Coke and companies like that. But I've often thought that that isn't very helpful, because if you look at it, you know, Apple spends $1 billion in advertising. The same with Coke. Nike's marketing budget is $2.4 billion. And so when you look at these companies, sure, they can create a great brand because they can blanket the market with their advertising. So for an entrepreneur, I don't think that, you know, learning the lessons of Apple is as helpful. I think it's much more interesting to look at companies that don't have a marketing budget but have created a great brand. And so I looked at companies like Patagonia as an example, the clothing manufacturer. Toms of Maine is a terrific brand. But I recently wrote an article in for the Huffington Post, which people can find online, where I said that the best new brand in America is Warby Parker, which is the hipster eyeglass company. And they're just a tremendous brand, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that their CEO knows more about branding than any CEO I've ever met. He really understands the power of brand. In fact, he did not launch the company until he felt like he had perfected the brand. And I think he took something like 2 years to really get the brand right before they launched. But Warby Parker is a perfect example of a great brand, because this is how they describe themselves. They say, "We are a lifestyle brand offering value and service with social mission." And so the idea of a great brand, when you look at great brands, they usually have three things. One is they have functional excellence. So the products and services are truly excellent, and that's very important. The second part of it is they always have a social purpose. A great brand does. And Warby Parker, as an example, so they've got great eyeglasses. They came in and into an industry where most of the industry was dominated by one or two companies, like 80% of the industry. And as a result, for those of us who wear glasses, every time you went to get eyeglasses, you spent $300-$400. Warby Parker came in and said, we're going to sell them for $99 online. And so functionally, they're terrific glasses. They're priced incredibly cost-effectively. And then on a societal level, they decided that for every pair of glasses we sell, we're going to give away a pair in the developing world. Tremendous. So think about it. Every time you buy a Warby Parker pair of glasses, you know somebody else is getting a pair who needs it. And that's really an incredible amount of social goodwill is built up because of that buy one, give one program. They've donated over a million glasses in the developing world. It's remarkable. And then lastly, a great brand needs to be emotional. It's got to hit you right in your heart. It's really got to, you've got to feel it. And so Warby Parker, which is, you know, the name of the company is based on two characters, Zag Parker and Warby Pepper, who are created by Jack Kerouac, has this incredible emotional brand, which is based on American writers of the 20th century. And so they're always, everything about their brandscape, if you watch their ads, look at their films, go on their website, it has this very literary sensibility, very sophisticated, very American, very playful. And when you go on their site, you immediately have a smile on your face and you feel the culture of the company through the careful curation of imagery. And you can even listen to a Warby Parker playlist on Spotify. Everything about the brand is just really carefully done. And I think it is the best brand in America right now, in my opinion. And so that's an example of a brand that doesn't spend a lot of money on branding, but they just do what they do exceptionally well, and everything they do is really honors the vision of the company.
Tell us, what is the next frontier of branding at this point?
That's interesting, Eric. Well, there's a lot of opinions about where branding is going to go. So if you pay attention to what's being written out there, between the academic journals like the Harvard Business Review and then companies like Interbrand, which is an incredible firm in New York. Interbrand, for example, says that there are four ages to branding. We started with the age of identity, and then we went to the age of value, and then now we're in the age of experience. And this idea is that because of digital, because of mobile technology, brands are now delivering not simply product. What they're delivering is a kind of 24/7 brand experience. So if you will, imagine that you have your phone. Your phone has a Bluetooth device that goes into your ear. Your brand is curating this kind of ecosystem of information, entertainment, letting you know about new products and services, new launches, things like that. And so it's experience. It's very immersive, and you're really interacting with the brand to an extent that's never happened before. And that's been made possible because of mobile technology. So, you know, now, of course, we're moving even further, and Interbrand calls it the age of you, which is where you're going to have wearable technology like the iWatch, where you're going to have a closer and closer relationship with brands that you interact with. I think that's a great idea. I think it's very interesting. I actually have a different take on it. I think the next frontier is brand storytelling. And what I mean by that is, in the past, when you created a brand, you really just talked about your product or your service. Now I think what we're going to do is we're really turning our brands, the brands we care about, are really becoming characters. characters like in a film or a play. And so if you look, when we sit down to do branding, we work with these things called archetypes. So this is just simply types of characters that exist in the world. So you have rebels and heroes and rulers and caregivers, and every person, but also every brand, belongs to a particular kind of archetype, if you subscribe to this theory, which comes from Carl Jung, the famous German psychiatrist. So I'll give you a couple examples. Apple and Harley are both rebel archetypes because they're all built around the idea of challenging the status quo. Nike and the U.S. Army are hero archetypes because they're about transcendence through action. Then you have what we call the ruler archetype, which is the archetype that's really about being a figure of authority and knowing all the answers and creating the best. And that's American Express, Brooks Brothers are good examples of that. So I think what you're going to find as we move forward is increasingly that brand storytelling is going to become very, very important. And so, you know, it starts with companies looking at their founding myth, how they came to be. So, for example, with Starbucks, you have Howard Schultz in 1983 taking a trip to Italy and seeing those coffee houses and then bringing back this idea to create that communal experience within in America. And now every time Starbucks, so that's part of their brand story, is that founding myth of how Howard Schultz had this idea of creating these third spaces. Starbucks has now become very skilled at being able to take that brand story and then creating more and more chapters to that story. So every time they launch a new roast, every time they launch a new program, it becomes part of this overarching story about how Starbucks created this kind of new sense of community within American coffee houses. Starbucks, by the way, is an explorer archetype. So Starbucks is very much a brand that's about seeing the world, experiencing other cultures, being able to interact and grow through breaking boundaries. All of those things are part of the Starbucks narrative. But in that context, Starbucks is operating very much like a character in a film. And so as we look ahead, I think that's what you're going to see, is brands behaving more like characters. And I think that brand storytelling is kind of the next frontier.
Tom, I've really enjoyed this. Very informative and super information. I can't thank you enough for this. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Silva Brand online.
Sure. Well, feel free to go to our website, which is silvabrand.com, for more information. And then also I'll mention that I write a regular column for the Huffington Post, which you can find on their website. And I also write for kind of the European version of Fast Company, which is called Hot Topics. And so if you go online, you can find my writing on branding there as well.
Well, Tom, once again, we thank you for your time today, and thanks for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It was an absolute pleasure, and I wish everybody out there much success.
We thank you for that as well. All the best. We've been speaking with Tom Silva, founder and principal of Silva Brand, a brand consultancy and marketing agency located in downtown Chicago, Illinois. And once again, the website of reference is silvabrand.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.